From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. You can also hear this show at KCRW.com. My guest, writer-director Lynn Shelton, makes friends about the demands of friendship and how they can take some very peculiar avenues. In her film of last year, My Effortless Brilliance, is very much about the way friends are testing each other. And in her new film, Hump Day, there are some very, let's say, provocative tests that come about. Lynn, first of all, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Elvis.
You started really as an editor, and I wondered what that does for you as a filmmaker, if you start to think about films in terms of rhythms in a different way rather than just thinking about the bigger picture at all.
You know, I must be the way that editing can transform a mediocre script into a much, much better script into an actually good movie. Can take a poor film, and turn it into a mediocre film. I mean, it really, there's a lot of power, and that is where I learned how to be a cinematic storyteller. And it is incredibly important for this type of filmmaking. The edit process always is, of course. Ang Lee calls it, the production is like shopping and getting the shopping cart as full as you can with good stuff. And then the editing is like making the recipe and cooking the meal.
You've done a number of shorts as well as features as an editor. And your films as a director are more anecdotal, and I wonder if that's something you feel like you sort of got from doing the shorts, which were the shorts you've done are kind of anecdotes themselves. They didn't really have a big sort of climax as much as just like a small story that was told.
It's just more my interest level in the small moment, I think, in finding the poetry and the mundane, I guess, and those really intimate interactions with other people, but also with one's own self, too. The ever shifting self, how it shifts over time and in relationship to other people and in relationship to what we think ourselves are, and sort of being confronted with the difference between who we actually are and who we think we are. It's been a constant fascination for me, other human beings and how they tick, and I have a background as a documentary filmmaker, and I loved interviewing people. I mean, I still do. I'm actually doing it now in development for this web series, interviewing musicians and finding out about their lives and getting them to tell stories and just seeing how to open them up, sort of crack them open a little bit and see what's inside. Folks ask why I make movies about men when I'm not a man myself. And for me, it's just people. I just make movies about people and a man, woman, it doesn't matter. I'm really interested in folks who are trying to connect, that constant need to and desire to connect with other people, and how so often it goes off the rails.
It's The Treatment. I'm talking to writer-director Lynn Shelton. Her new film is Hump Day. You're talking about these friendships going off the rails. It's both of these, your last two films have been guys who've been separated for a while and come back together and are both trying to sort of recapture like the heat of the old friendship, even though their lives have both changed pretty radically.
Yeah, it's true. Although the two films seemed so different to me, and on paper you're right, they do look really similar in that way, but because each individual in those relationships are so different and the dynamic, the power dynamics, the first, My Effortless Brilliance is about two friends who really had this dramatic breakup and one of them just dumped the other one. So the dumpy shows up a couple years later, trying to gingerly, see if he can pick up the pieces of the fractured friendship.
They're a cabin separated from everybody, so it's just the two
totally
of them.
Totally isolated.
Yes.
Yeah, but the one who did the dumping doesn't really have any motivation to get, to be a friend again. And so it's a really specific dynamic between the two of them where Sean Nelson's character is desperately trying to figure out how to charm back his friend, basically. And Hump Day, there never was a breakup, I think that there were probably the normal a number of sort of little betrayals and things that happened to cause resentment, I'm sure, earlier in their relationship. But now it's just 10 years have passed. They just have been physically not in each other's presence. And one of them has gotten married. Ben has, gotten married and has a really nice relationship with his wife. And they're trying to have a baby. And they have this whole life they've built for themselves. But Andrew's been off in the world free, and I think has sacrificed any chance of intimate, really intense relationship. And I think he longs for it, you know, that sense of really being connected to somebody. And one of the only times in his life that he's had that was in college with this friend. And so he's specifically seeing if he can recapture that. And so that's, you know, there are a lot of layers to this film and a lot of different themes. But that is one of the ones that is sort of the foundation, is that real desire on both of their parts, but especially on Andrew's part, to reconnect, to find that sense of, you know, that kindred spirit, you know, that he had.
I think they both are trying so desperately to recapture a moment that's passed for both of them, that an interesting situation evolves. And what exactly is that situation, Lynn?
Well, so Ben is married, has this house and wife, and they're trying to have a baby. Well, that's established in the first scene. And then the very second scene is a knock, knock, knock on the door in the middle of the night. He gets out of bed and opens the door, and there is his friend Andrew, long-lost friend. He had absolutely no idea he was going to show up. And he really, literally just sort of crashes into their lives. And they, you know, put him up in the basement like good hosts, taken off guard. And within 24 hours, Ben, the husband, finds himself at this party because this is how Andrew operates. He just sort of lands somewhere and finds his people. And he ends up at this party at a house. It's an artist's commune, sort of Burning Man style, sex positive commune. And it's called Dionysus. And they have a little party, and it's everybody is making art. And one of the art projects that they're all going to be involved in is to make porn films for a local festival, which really does exist in Seattle. It's called Hump. And in the movie, I called it Hump Fest. And so they're all making movies, and they're all going to be pornographic but artistic. And so the boys decide that they're also going to make, well, Andrew, the artist, says, I'm going to make an art film, an erotic art film as well. And they're trying to come up with ideas that are going to be have enough merit artistically, and decide that the obvious choice is that the two of them should have sex. And they're both straight. And, of course, Ben is married. So that's what's going to be cutting edge about it, is it's beyond gay is the idea. And so it comes up as this sort of, they're both very drunk and, you know, compromised. And then the next morning they have to deal with this sort of fallout of this idea. And what's so beautiful is that they manage to, you know, they have this conversation where they're like, well, you know, that was a crazy night. And, you know, it seems clear they're going to sort of let it go. And then it turns out that they can't, because every time they try and let the other one off the hook, that one says, hey, you don't have to let me off, though, because I'm all there. I'll do it. But I know that, you know, it looks like you're trying to get out of it. And you're like, hey, I'm not trying to get out of it. So they're basically outdoing each other and end up trying to do each other. The ultimate irony.
It's The Treatment. I'm talking to writer-director Lynn Shelton. Her new film, as a filmmaker, as director and writer, is Hump Day. But I just find myself really interested in the way that you create tensions when people walk into a room and come out of nowhere. I mean, that's been, even in documentary stuff you've done, it's been about the way dynamics change in a room when an odd electron bounces in. I wonder how you work a movie out in those kinds of terms, because this one, unlike stuff you've done before, has a really specific narrative and a climax, if you pardon the expression. And it goes through all these sort of one-act, two-act, three-act things. So bringing your style, which is almost a kind of a temperamental disinterest in conventional narrative, and marrying narrative to that. I wonder where that, how that worked out for you.
Well, it's my third feature. My first feature, We Go Way Back, was written, you know, it was created in a totally traditional way where I wrote a script and I thought of these characters and I put them on the page and then I tried to look for people in the world to fill those roles. It was the first script I'd ever written. It was my first feature. So it was sort of almost my film school, or the final chapter of my film school. I think that I look back on my four decades of life, and I think all of those decades were actually film school, having started as, you know, a decade as an actor and then moving on to grad school in photography and then editing and making experimental films. For all of that kind of added up to all those skill sets come into play. But the one thing that I found frustrating in that process was how hard it was on the actor. We had a 35mm film camera and we had a full crew of, you know, a good healthy 30 to 50 people on set. But we only had 16 days to shoot it, and we only had about 9.5 hours of footage to shoot. And so it was a lot of running around, hustle and bustle, getting the lighting set up, and then bam, you know, 5 minutes to shoot the scene. And these actors who had just been so fantastic in the auditions, wonderful theater actors, just, you know, it was so difficult. They would just freeze up, and it was so difficult to help them get to that level of naturalism that I wanted out of them. And we got there, but it was a struggle. And it just seemed to me like the paradigm of traditional filmmaking might not be the most conducive, especially with a low budget. And so I looked at the resources I had at my disposal, and I tried an experiment. I wanted to just see what would happen if I stripped away the set to a bare minimum of distractions and sort of artificiality and create a very naturalistic and organic kind of set, and a highly collaborative one. So I started with starting with the people I wanted to work with, and then custom designing a character for them, and inviting them into that process very much as I've discovered Mike Lee does. But that there we sort of part ways, because at that point, I then, as I start to get to know who the characters are, then I can go and write the story, and I know what's going to happen. And with Hump Day, I can say that I really... My second feature film was made in this way. It's called My Effortless Brilliance. And my sole focus, or the main focus, was the naturalism, getting that level of naturalism. I wanted it to feel like you were really hanging out with these guys, that it was almost like a documentary as opposed to a narrative film. And once I was able to reach that, my next step in my evolution as a filmmaker for Hump Day was to insert a really strong narrative drive. So I wanted a film that felt like a real movie, if that makes sense, but still retained that sense of naturalism. And that was my goal with this film. So even though all of the dialogue is improvised, which it is, we always know exactly what we're doing on set. So we would talk at length, the actors and I, about where, you know, the shape of the particular scene and how they're going to start at point A and eventually get to point B and point C, which would lead them to point, you know, D. And then... And then I have two cameras, and I turn them on, and I would just give it to them, and they would go, and 20, 30, 40 minute takes. And unless they were going off in a completely wrong direction, I would just let them go and overwrite and do whatever they needed to do to get to where they needed to be. Because I'm looking at them as an editor and seeing, as long as I have the ingredients in there, I know I can carve it out. It's almost like you're setting up a false documentary situation, and just how a fly on the wall documentary is really written in the edit room. The material is kind of dictating in a certain way what you're going to write, but you have to find the story in there and carve it out.
I think these films feel to me different than most of the filmmakers, and I think that's because of your background in assembly.
Yeah. No, I think it definitely informs the way that I'm making movies. And it also, I think it allows me to give more freedom to the actors on set. I mean, I'm a total control freak. So this very collaborative process does not come naturally to me. It was, as I said before, an evolution. And I found that the more collaborative I became, the better the end product. But the control freak aspect still comes into play when I am choosing who I invite. You know, that's the ultimate thing. If I have the right person, and it's not just cast, it's also every single person on set, you know, from the sound recordist to the director of photography to, you know, the first AC. I mean, everybody.
I'm going to be a control freak here and take a bit of a break. We have a lot to talk about. My guest is writer-director Lynn Shelton. Her new film as director is Hump Day. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment. More to come.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment, which you can also hear at KCRW.com. My guest sitting across from me is writer, director, and actor Lynn Shelton. Her new film is Hump Day, in which she also appears. So all these things you're talking about, watching the film as an editor, or at least having that part of your mind working as a film is being shot, what happens when you introduce yourself into the mix as one of the performers as well?
Well, that was the big educational aspect of this process. It was the first time I'd ever tried to act in a movie that I'm directing, and I learned something that I should have known before, which is that they're two completely different skill sets, and you can't really do both at the same time. I can't. Obviously, it's been done before, and I don't know how those people do it, frankly. Although I think it helps if it is a more traditional model of filmmaking, it probably works a little bit better. The way that I like to work as a director on set is very fluid. You know, it's a very go with the flow, sort of seeing how things, you know, letting things take shape on set and then guiding it, you know, from a distance. Well, I can't do that when I'm acting. As a director, you have to be having a sort of bird's eye view of the entire scene and the scenario and what the camera operators are doing and how the dynamic of the scene is playing out. Whereas as an actor, at least for me, if I want to be good as an actor, you have to be completely unselfconscious. You have to be the opposite of that. You don't want to be aware of everything that's going on in the room or of even what you're doing. You just want to be living it. And if you can't be in that in the moment, you're going to get false notes. And so what I've discovered is that if I want to act in a scene that I'm supposedly directing, I need to have everything sort of pre-planned out. I need to know exactly. We have to sort of know more in advance what's going to be happening so that I can find out exactly what the camera composition is going to be and I can pre-visualize the whole thing. And it's not the way I like to direct. I don't like to have everything really, really beautifully pre-planned, pre-visualized, storyboarded out because I want to be able to see what the scenario is and then decide on the spot how I'm going to deal with it.
Because it's like I was saying when we started, it just seems almost like a temperamental disinterest in just following the thing from the start to its logical conclusion. I mean, that just seems to be something that doesn't really connect with you in any way.
Really, I keep coming back to this word organic, but it really – that is what I've – I mean, I look at Hump Day. I watched it recently at the Seattle International Film Festival, and I had this moment of, wait a minute, how did I do this? What –
Really?
I did. I just had this one screening. Just I sort of forgot momentarily what the process was. And I had to realize, I had to go back and realize, no, there really was a rhyme and a reason to it. But it's like an evolution. And it is this extremely organic. There's a very organic quality to it. One step leads to the other. And you know, I keep inviting whoever needs to be invited at that point into the collaboration. And right up till the, you know, final stage in the edit room.
Wow. You were talking about this web series you're doing, which is a series of interviews with musicians, you were saying.
That's the development phase. Yeah, Craig Brewer, who directed Hustle and Flow and Black Snake Moan, he developed a web series called $5 Cover Memphis that is on MTV.com. And David Gale, who is the MTV producer of $5 Cover, saw Hump Day at Sundance and kind of immediately, like within 24 hours, was hounding me because he thought that I might be a good match for the Seattle version. And it's a really interesting, and he was right, I think. It's a really interesting, almost, this isn't quite describe it, but it's a good starting point. It's like a hybrid between documentary and drama because there are narrative threads, but they're based on the lives of actual people who are playing themselves. And they are musicians. And so every episode of the web series, which they're short, you know, they last like 7 minutes long on average, features a musical performance. And then interwoven into that are these narrative threads with the actual musicians playing themselves. It's really interesting. It's hard to describe because it's sort of a new-ish format. But the way he shot the Memphis version is very much how I handled Hump Day. So they had two cameras and they had a structured outline, but they didn't actually have words for people to memorize, which is really great when you're working with non-actors because most of the musicians were non-actors and they are just being themselves. And if you don't have to be asking them to memorize lines, you're going to probably get a more naturalistic performance out of them. So yeah, I've been in development and I have my roster of local Seattle bands and we're now in the process of pre-producing. So it's going to be fun.
It's The Treatment. I'm talking to writer-director and co-star of Hump Day, Lynn Shelton. You can hear the show at kcrw.com. as you talk about this, I'm wondering how you're going to do that thing that I really like in your films where tension gets introduced at the oddest moments. I'm thinking about the scene where Ben is trying to explain to his wife what's going to happen, and you can just see the cowardice well up in his eyes as she's thinking, well, are you saying you want to be in a porn film? Oh, well, no, that's not. Well, so I may go get copies. And oh, by the way, I love you.
Yeah, classic Duplass there.
You should say that's Mark Duplass.
That was Mark Duplass playing Ben. Yeah, he's
also
just
another
amazing in this film.
Another filmmaker, actor as well.
Exactly.
And I wonder if that was if you sought him out just because of him having worked in these separate disciplines in his own movie himself.
Well, I met him because he was in Seattle on the set of a movie called True Adolescence, which was just at South by Southwest. That's where it had its world premiere. And I got myself on set as a still photographer. I volunteered basically so that, you know, my secret mission was to meet and bond with Mark Duplass so that he would work with me. I don't even know if I recognized it at the time, but it was very clear pretty soon that was my secret mission, and it really – or not-so-secret mission. And it really worked well. I mean, we bonded as filmmakers. We talked about making movies a lot and our sort of philosophies, and we obviously had a lot in common there. And then I watched him firsthand acting every day, and it was just – he just blew me away. He's so elastic as a performer, you know, and he was, you know – had to read lines. It was a traditional film set, and so every take was fresh and every take was different. And the best of all, he was really listening to his fellow actors and drawing the best out of them. And so he was exactly the kind of actor that I wanted to work with. And I told him so, and he said, well, come up with an idea. And I think about a month later was when I called him up with this very loose premise and crazy premise and a character scenario. And then he was the one who brought in Joshua Leonard, who is also a filmmaker. And, you know, I should mention that not every actor is going to want, even very, very fine actors are not all going to want to work in this way or be able to. And usually it's this pretty self-selected process, luckily. If they don't feel an urgency towards it, they're probably not cut out for it anyway. So, you know, it all kind of works out. But Alicia Del Moore, who's a Seattle actress who plays Ben's wife, mostly has a background in theater, and she's never made a film, but she is great at it as well. So sometimes I think, oh, well, if you have this capacity for writing and telling stories as a filmmaker, maybe that's sort of the best combo pack. But there's a lot of actors who are great improvisers but aren't interested in actually writing or directing themselves. It's interesting.
I'm just intrigued by this because in the last few years, especially coming through South by Southwest, there has been this kind of bubble of these filmmakers who work in this way that you do. It seems an interesting coincidence that as you were starting to get your legs as a filmmaker, there's in one part of the country, there's a group in a whole other part of the country who are working independently of you who approach it in pretty much similar ways.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Well, and it's not even just one other part of the country. It's like all across the country, right? I mean, I first met Joe Swanberg in Maryland, the Maryland Film Festival. He lives in Chicago. And a little while after that, I met Aaron Katz, who lived at the time, I think he lived in Portland. Now he's in New York. And, you know, the Duplass brothers started in Austin. Now they're in L.A. But what's nice about the film festival circuit, and it's South by Southwest, but it's also a bunch of other regional festivals, too, is there's this network in this community. Also, the internet helps as well. Facebook, for instance, is a big popular meeting place for all of these folks. We go to these film festivals and take all these pictures and then post them and tag each other. You know, so it's sort of – it's a great way of keeping in contact. It's a really fun way. But there is this really supportive network of filmmakers who are all out there scrappily making films on their own terms, you know, with the resources that they have at their disposal. And they all have different styles. And I think the films all end up being quite, you know, having distinct flavors from each other. I don't want to lump them all together. But what we do have in common is that we're not waiting for anybody to give us permission to make our movies, you know. And so they do end up coming out to varying degrees, you know. Some have more in common with Hollywood films than others, and some are unrecognizable, you know, from a Hollywood studio picture.
It's The Treatment. I'm talking to writer-director Lynn Shelton. Her new film as a filmmaker, as director and writer, is Hump Day. But it feels like to me, a new wave of filmmaking that almost grows out of the indie music circuit, a way of just trying to bring personality to films. And again, like you're saying, they are from lots of different places and there's not a singular voice, but there is a singularity of approach that's very close to the way you work.
Yeah, well, even the approaches are different. I mean, some people actually script out. Aaron Katz really does stick to his script, which he doesn't. It feels very natural but and conversational, but he actually has a script that he sticks to. The Duplass brothers have a script, but they toss it out the window. Swanberg has a much looser style than probably anybody, where he really is collaborative on the set and kind of writes the movie as they're going. And I kind of do an in-between where I have, you know, tons of backstory and lots of rich texture for each character we work. That's where I put most of my energies for the characters. And then I have a really structured outline so they can shoot for a shape to the scene, you know, and but everybody has a real clear action, a clear objective, and, you know, knows what the scene is about. I'm not interested in a sense of kind of just meandering. I really want it to have a focus, you know, to be sharp. And I also don't want actors to be felt put on the spot, like they have to kind of entertain or come up with something. And
is that a pressure you felt in acting in other people's films before, a pressure to deliver and entertain in some way, and you want to make an environment that doesn't have that kind of demand?
Yeah. I was trained as an actor, and I think that those basic acting principles of knowing who you are, having this real sense of what's just come before, and it may, as well as maybe an ancient history with the person that you're, you know, in the room with, and listening and actually reacting, and also, you know, what do I want from this scene? What is my objective? These very, very, very basic, you know, acting 101 things. If you really pay attention to those details, you're going to get a scene that pops, you know.
Because it just feels, I guess, to me, like a generational film or a generational movement in film as much as anything else.
You were talking about this idea of an individuality of voice, and I'm going to state the obvious, which is I think for most of us, the technology is really the democratization of the art form through the technology, the technological advances of late, the fact that you can actually go out and pick up a camera and make a good-looking film on HD for, you know, a reasonable amount of money, it means that people can take risks and they can go out and try stuff out. And again, not wait for permission, you know, or for approval, you know, or try, you know, they don't have to please anybody but themselves because they can make movies on their own terms. So I think that's the kind of freedom that allows a context for people to do what they want to do, be the kind of filmmaker they want to be.
Well, we're out of time. You have to come back when the next film plays.
Oh, well, of course I will, Elvis. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's more than my pleasure. My guest is writer-director and co-star of Hump Day, Lynn Shelton. Our recording engineer at KCRW is Mario Diaz, with technical assistance from Paul West at the Argo Network. Bob Carlson is the editor. Gemma Dempsey is the producer. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. For questions and comments about The Treatment, please email us at thetreatment@kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.